this go big? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Cause you know you wonder, how did this go big? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth. My name is Paul Scheer, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. How are you both?
Good.
Not too bad.
Sorry so much for the delay of this episode, but we were busy. Sorry.
Suck it.
Yeah, that's it.
What do you think about that? Boom.
Boo. We have a very special special guest with us today. You might know him as DJ Old Younging from Funny People. He's been on Cyber Thug Radio here on Earwolf. Please welcome Brandon Johnson.
Hey, everybody. Good to be here.
I almost feel like we took an applause break there.
I know, we did.
I did.
A little bit.
You took a nice little pause.
Let's put in applause in post.
I mean, I thought that's what we were going to do.
Yep. In post, let's put in just like really aggressive applause.
Really, people are going crazy, screaming.
Somebody said this show has more money than Cyber Thug, so I figured you guys would do that in post.
Oh, we have shitloads of money.
Oh, so much.
Oh, so
You're
much
sitting
money.
On a chair made of gold.
We've got shitty movie money.
So the movie that we decided to watch this week was All About Steve. From the producers of Miss Congeniality comes a turd like no other. This is like, how would you describe this movie? In my mind, this is like a rejected Molly Shannon sketch from SNL. Like, Molly Shannon was like, no. Not going to do this one.
That's exactly what I thought.
I feel like maybe at some point this existed as a honest, like, romantic comedy somehow. And at some point Sandra Bullock was like, what if she's autistic?
Yes, Sandra Bullock in this movie, there is something wrong with her.
Yes, she is decidedly unwell.
Yeah, and she gets really depressed at certain points. She's a cruciverbalist, which is a crossword puzzle maker, who lives at home with her parents. And I question her parents because her parents should be putting her in an institution.
Yeah, I thought cruciverbalists was the people who yelled, kill Jesus. But apparently, it's something completely different.
She is a woman who is in her 40s and
well
acting
into her
40s. Like a stone-cold, like crazy 22-year-old.
Her room looks the same like the room in Mean Girls. Like all the girls are, it's like a high school girl's room. There's crazy stuff. By the way, I'll talk about this more in depth later. There's a Black Power poster on her wall.
I
thought was out of that room for a second. Also,
ridiculously out of place.
Also, she has an enormous like architect's blueprint table to make her crosswords. Why did she need all that space on her desk to do that?
I've seen type that movie. I've seen that movie, the crossword puzzle documentary.
Yes,
and it's like borderline homeless people making crossword puzzles at their kitchen tables.
Yeah,
that's who makes crossword puzzles.
She needs a full on
for the New York Times. That's who makes crossword puzzles. This woman makes them for the Sacramento Bee,
which only gets one crossword a week.
And has a circulation of, I believe, 7,000, but the newsroom of the Washington Post. Like, what's happening?
It is full-blown, and it's like, we don't have enough room for a daily crossword puzzle. Really?
Well, the strange thing...
But yet everyone in Sacramento was doing them all the time.
And
it seemed loving them.
Yeah, and loving them.
A montage of just old, young, everybody loves. People love crossword puzzles so much, the crossword puzzle maker comes to career day at your school. She is like that important.
I would like to talk about this. She goes to a career day in a giant auditorium.
Yeah.
This is not like in a classroom. It's a huge auditorium that's populated by roughly 8 children who are the nastiest children of all time.
Yeah.
She's next to a fireman. She comes in. She's like, I make crossword puzzles. And some kid's like, you live at home with your parents.
Do you even have a husband?
Yeah.
This is the inciting event, though. It's from there.
She starts to have a nervous breakdown in that room. She starts to tell the kids that she has had sex.
Yes, liaisons is the word that she uses, which is disgusting.
She's telling this to 8-year-old kids. She's defending her sex life to 8-year-old kids who are critical of her job, which on the outside seems pretty interesting, right? Like, I make crossword puzzles.
Right. It's a fine job.
I have to learn about words. I'm a writer. I contribute to the local paper. All these things are good, except for the part where you go, I've had sex before. Don't look at me.
to a bunch of eight-year-old children.
The opening of that scene, Carrie Kinney is so disgusted by her and so angry about her arrival that I thought, did she force herself on these people? Like, did she force her way into this career day?
If there's like 2 hours of cut scenes from this movie that make the movie make complete sense, because I do not get this.
It's a wild ride.
So basically, here is this character.
Is this movie's bad? I mean, like crazy bad.
I think this is on the level of Old Dogs in the sense of like, whoa, because it has huge actors in it, like Thomas Hayden Church, Sandra Bullock, Bradley Cooper, Ken Jeong, Carrie Kinney, all these great people in it, and the movie is a turd. And the premise is like this crazy woman who is...
Is she crazy, though?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, she is like certifiably crazy.
Well, see, here's the thing, June, you're forgetting. All women are crazy.
Oh.
She's just one of the... She's one of the cuckoo crazies.
Got it.
She is set up on a blind date by her parents, and who turns
She's in her 40s!
She's in her 40s. And this guy shows up, and it's Bradley Cooper, and she's like... He's hot. And she runs upstairs, dresses like a hooker.
Runs
into his car. And literally, in the first moment they are together, they fuck. I mean,
They try. But in an odd twist, in any American red-blooded male, he decides, because she wants to fuck so badly, he's got to get out of there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little bit creeped out by her because she's talking linguistics.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
everything she does is wordplay. Everything, because she's a crossword puzzle maker, she's always defining words and adding words to things. Like, it's
Oh, my God. And that was an uncomfortable sex scene because, first of all, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, they literally walk from the outside of his house into his car. She tries to, like... physically attack him. Like, and she gets stuck with the seatbelt, which is hilarious. And then
that actually did make me laugh.
It made me laugh too.
That beat made me, that made me laugh.
Sandy Bullock is so good at physical comedy, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she's amazing. It's just the movie is cruel because they're making this like wonderful middle-aged woman talk to gerbils.
Oh my God, oh, yeah. Carol? You mean Carol?
Her best friend.
Gerbil?
Yeah.
Her best friend, Carol?
Also, not buying that Sandra Bullock has ever been a nerd.
Never.
Well, this is an honest question, though. Do you think they were trying to portray her as a nerd or as a crazy? Like, it was very unclear.
It was, her character was dressed insanely, acted insanely, was done up in, none of it fit into any kind of like, oh, this is the archetype of a nerd or a crazy or whatever.
It was
all over the place.
It was a potpourri of insanity and nerddom because it was like, she could have a little bit of Asperger's. She could just be really nerdy. She could just be like a crazy stalker. Which is what she is.
Scene to scene,
she's a stalker.
She was, scene to scene, it was one of those things. It would be like framework. There was horror movie elements to it.
This is a horror movie. Yeah. If you took out the dumb sound effects, it's a horror movie. She tries to mount this guy. He gets out of there. He's like, she's crazy. She's like, oh, he loves me. He loves me. Proceeds to make a new crossword puzzle called All About Steve. And every question is, color of Steve's eyes, color of Steve's shirt, color of Steve's hair, where did Steve go to school, Steve's first job. All right, so now...
How many feet do I have to stay away from Steve?
But how did she know all that info when she only spent 10 minutes with
him? Unknown.
She drank him in.
Oh, wow.
But taste of Steve's lips was one of them, guys.
That's right.
But here is my issue with it.
Peppermint
she
explosion.
Makes this amazing crossword. It's published the next day in the paper.
Without being proofread.
No one has looked at it.
You guys, don't worry about that stuff.
No one
worry about these things.
The editor's like, how could you do this?
This is unprofessional.
Yeah.
After he told her to go have a better life.
He says,
go and have dates. And then she goes and has an amazing date for a weirdo.
Yes.
And then comes back and writes about it. And he's like, you've shamed.
But also, it's like, this should have been an editor. This shouldn't have been like... The All About Steve puzzle shouldn't have come out. No one should have read
somebody
the All About Steve.
Who that person was who didn't catch that.
She should have come into work the next day, and he should have been like, hey, Mary, the night editor proofed your puzzle, and this is a counselor we've hired to come in and talk to you. You appear to be cuckoo crazy.
But
you guys, but even... Even if that was a mistake, in two scenes before,
oh, we're still so early in the movie.
Okay, in two scenes before, he said, when she asked for a daily crossword, he said, nobody reads these anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So the stakes were so low that it's like, did it really matter?
No, everybody in town, the montage tells us everyone is doing it.
Now, meanwhile, the other thing was, this is the day after her depressing day where everyone was doing a crossword too. So the idea that the crosswords come out once a week, does that mean that it comes out once a week and people save them or they've worked on them all week? My bigger issue is this. In the montage of people doing a crossword, they cut to a bathroom stall.
Yeah.
All men in bathroom stalls all doing a crossword. And then there was this weird thing, like, remember that thing where the governor, like, did a foot tap or something to have gay sex?
Wide
they did a little thing like that in the bathroom. It was like a little foot tap.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what that was about. Well, is there gay people in the bathroom also
joke.
Doing
crossword?
Some
joke.
People were doing the crossword puzzle, and some dudes wanted to get some hand jobs.
Guys, we got to get to three-legged baby Peggy.
Guys,
we've got some real work.
There's a tornado. She says there's a tornado / cicada apocalypse.
We got to get to Wild Wild West.
Deaf children fall into a mine shaft.
All right, we have a lot to go.
Seriously, guys.
So basically,
we got to move on.
We're going to move on. So basically, the premise is she becomes obsessed with this cameraman who is also on hard times at CNN or whatever it's called.
NCC.
Like NCC. Who, like, this cameraman's overly involved in his reporter's life, and the head of the studio is like, you guys gotta get a good story. So they're going out to cover a story. Their first story is an Old West hostage situation, which is not even the craziest of all the things.
I really wonder if, like, people are listening to this podcast, are they gonna be like, what the fuck are these dildos talking about?
Yeah. No.
This is nonsense.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
And also, it seems like this movie took place within 3 days.
I think they were
all over the United States.
All over the United States, like always by car. Nobody flies anywhere, but they're like, well, I guess we got to drive to Colorado. Oh, here we are, Colorado.
Yeah.
And we survived a tornado.
Plus, okay, now here's another story. Bradley Cooper and Thomas Hayden Church are part of this NCC news team. Now, I don't know if they're covering human interest stories. I don't know if they're covering real world tragedy. I don't know what world they're in because they cover everything. It's like, oh, potted plants, hostage situation.
Yep.
And then they go to like a kid in a well. And then but these are all very disparate things. Also,
and
people,
they're supposed to get and. They're charged to get B-roll of the tornado having hit.
Yes.
Just B-roll, that's
just
it.
Just B-roll.
Yes.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. So, basically, Mary is following her man who is out doing these dumbass stories, and she talks so much, she gets kicked off a bus.
Yeah.
And because the bus driver's like, get off, and then takes off out without her.
Right.
Then she goes to this disgusting diner, and then Mary, who is crazy, makes a judgment call on all these gross people in the diner. Yeah. She's like, ugh, these people are gross and weird.
Yeah.
I think I'll go with this truck driver I've never met.
Yes.
Yeah. And then she asks him if he's going to rape her.
Yeah.
Right. And he says no.
And then she says, thank you for not raping me as she signs off.
And then he goes, my pleasure.
Yes.
She goes, thank you for not raping me. My pleasure.
I can't convey to people enough how strange Sandra Bullock's acting choice was in this movie. I feel as though she was like, her choice was, I'm going to portray an alien who's trying to act human on Earth. And that's the best I can do. Like, I've seen the human animals make love, so I will do that. It's crazy.
It's really crazy.
It's really crazy
to watch a comedy and be very concerned about the main character.
Yes.
Very concerned about her well-being. Yes. Well,
I will talk about this now, too, because it was very hard to find clips of this movie anywhere. It's not on Netflix Instant. It's not on iTunes.
Do you guys
iTunes.
Remember when she
it's
took a bath and then tried to slide down the banister?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A grown woman.
Hurricane in Laquisha?
A towel.
And we haven't even gotten started on the apple maker.
Okay. This movie is racist. I am convinced that this movie is racist.
What you talking about, Paul? Just because they had the typical black person doing all sorts of different commentary on stuff around
them. Girl, you get your man.
They met this woman at a rally for a baby that had a third leg. And there were two
and
camps.
And no, it wasn't a giant dick.
It wasn't a giant
dick. But America met this woman first, I believe, on American Idol.
Oh, was Gina American Idol?
She was one of the people, I think, that was in the lobby waiting for a friend to come out. And she'd been dressed in all yellow first.
Trivia.
And she went on American Idol and she couldn't sing, but they voted her through because she was so interesting.
Well, look,
in the movie,
it was racist, but it was.
It was weird because they made her have a vestigial penis.
Yeah.
And then she's like, touch it. What?
Yeah.
So she was pro third leg because she had a penis. And now she shows up throughout the entire movie, all across the country.
Everyone does.
Yes.
Everyone's everywhere.
Except for Sandra Bullock's parents who stay home when Sandra Bullock is trapped in the bottom of a well and is about to die.
It's really disturbing, too, that the makers of this movie think disabled children and deformed children are hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. Every state
are hilarious.
Every state is experiencing a trauma of deformed or disturbed
really
children.
Disturbing.
Yeah, little black girl left in the mine.
I don't know. What about in Act Two? Now that we've solved the baby with the third leg, what are we going to do at the end of Act Two? Deaf kids fall down a abandoned mine shaft. Dude, that's great.
Perfect.
They show beautiful deaf kids running in this field carrying balloons, running to a fair, and then literally they are sucked underground. And it's crazy. Like if you watch it, it's like, oh, someone edited this on YouTube.
Rewind it.
It was insane.
They are like. Right, they disappear
the earth
into
eats
a fall
them. The earth
that
eats
nobody
them.
Could survive.
And the yes, best, that fall is gigantic.
It's crazy.
Right?
It's at least a 250
Thank
feet fall.
God for that puddle of mud.
Fall into a puddle of mud and they're not hurt.
Yeah, it's all Hollywood stuff where they're like, yeah, we need something bad to happen. Oh, a school bus crashes into a nunnery.
Yeah,
like no, something realistic. Oh, a killer shark jumps out of the water.
How little do we? They don't even trust that we care enough about their main character that when she's fallen into the well and she's running out of oxygen, that they then throw another deaf kid there. It's like the stakes aren't high enough.
Yeah, the only person that can listen to her is a deaf kid.
And the deaf kid tells her to shut up because she talks too much.
Right.
Sassy
black girl. Oh. Even though she's deaf, she's still sign language. Shut your damn mouth, Sandra Bullocks.
When they send down a note to Sandra Bullock to find out if she's okay via like a fishing rod, she sends it up, and I think it said something like, P.S., there's a deaf girl down here with me, and she's good, except for the fact that she's deaf.
Yeah.
Like, it said something like that. I wrote that
still
down.
Still deaf.
Yeah.
It
was, P.S., did anyone lose a little deaf girl? I found her. She's okay other than not being able to hear.
Man.
What?
Slam.
Yeah.
Slam.
She fucking nailed that little deaf girl.
Yeah. And somebody's got to put deaf people in their place.
Finally.
I'm glad that this movie has done that. I'm tired of what they get.
The beat that is so good is like, at first it starts with all of these deaf kids in a field.
Yes.
And it's like they're running through a field, and then the mom's like, who's ready to go to a carnival? And I, at that moment, I wrote, what's up with the deaf kids in the field? Right? Like, this is a random scene.
Oh my
then the kids the start closer. Running in slow motion. And I'm like, who gets to a carnival by first running through a very wide field and wood?
Yes.
Next thing
they
you know,
coming out of the woods.
Yes.
Next running
thing you know,
to a carnival.
Sucked into the earth. And that is this movie to a T.
Yeah.
There are so many little things. I do want to talk about that racism thing that I thought was pretty overt. Hurricane Lakeisha was the name. Hurricane Lakeisha. There was Black Power. There was a lot of just like bold, kind of stereotypical choices. It's like that always struck me as being odd. Very like racially odd, and when I saw it. But yeah, Hurricane Lakeisha was the one that I was like, she's just making a joke now, right? This is just a joke.
No, Paul, don't you know that they always need somebody to talk about what's going on in a way that we can all relate?
Oh.
Look at your shirt.
They do give hurricanes names. It's just Lakeisha was that.
But that was like.
Was on the list that year.
Lakeisha was the.
They'd gotten to the L's.
Oh, man. Here's the thing that they don't even follow. So she chases down Bradley Cooper's character, and she's like, you know, they meet at this like third leg baby thing, and at a certain point she says, hey, look, there's the dad of the baby, he's escaping. He goes, no, that's just the nurse. He goes, no, look at the shoes, that's the dad. And he's like, oh my god, you're right. And then that's it.
Yeah.
You never go back to this escaping dad. It doesn't play into the story.
But here's my question. Thomas Hayden Church is sort of like puppeteering all of this, right? Because Because why? Because
who cares?
No. Because her word skills are going to help him get an anchor desk? Yeah. That's no, the is craziest thing.
Wait, that was the thing? No, it was.
Yes,
really?
It was. I swear to God it was.
That
it
I was did that not
she,
get.
Yes. Because why else? It was that she had interesting trivia and had a way with words that he felt was going to help him land the story, and that's how he was going to get the anchor position, which ultimately... happened.
Don't you feel like at a certain point they must have been making this movie, like I'm saying, like the first day.
Yeah.
And been like, oh no, we've made a horrible mistake. Let's just shut it down. Let's give up. This is a horrible idea. Like every day Bradley Cooper had to act, don't you think he must have been like, oof, what is happening? All I'm doing is bugging my eyes out and going, yeah, okay.
And by the way, like the moral of this story is ultimately like, fall in a giant hole.
Yeah.
And everything will come together.
Yeah.
I now mean, people started loving her because she fell
she
in a giant
hero.
Hole.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. They sort of set you up for the sequel in that she doesn't necessarily get all of that. I won't give the ending
away. No, give it away. Give it away.
All right. So she still doesn't. After all this crazy ass behavior, she still doesn't get her man.
No.
But then they sort of set it up that her and DJ Lou Bell might have a little something something.
Yeah.
Because when she gets out of the hole, the first person who runs over is DJ
Qualls.
DJ Qualls, sorry. I love you, though, DJ Lou Bell.
Who's DJ
Lou
Bell?
Shout out to DJ. He's a funny man, dude. He's over at UCB. Y'all can catch him. Y'all can catch him, man. Shots out. Anyway, the point is.
Are you representing him?
Wait, I just want to say right now, I'm making that DJ
plug into this show.
If your name is DJ O'Young and DJ Lou Bell, DJ whoever, man, I want to get down with you. We got this thing going.
By the way, did Steve Zahn say no to that DJ Qualls part? I feel like that was like, it was like he was not the first choice.
DJ Qualls enters as a character who I actually think was supposed to also be autistic.
Yes.
Because she's like, how are you doing today? And he's like, I don't even know how to answer that. Or like his answer was basically like, I don't understand human emotions.
Who were these people that were at that protest? They were just professional protesters?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? And they keep going, those people over there are the anti-leg people, and we never see them.
Yeah.
Right.
And I gotta say, like,
we don't have money for those extras.
Oh man, DJ Qualls. The DJ Qualls. We talked about the Applehead thing.
We mentioned it.
We just touched on.
Well, she pairs up with the girl from Eastbound and Down,
who is also the girl in
she's
Drive Angry.
Twice,
Through
Drive
yeah.
Angry. Yes,
the waitress.
If you're keeping track of actors who have appeared in How Did This Get Made movies,
she has been in now too.
Even though we have not bothered to learn her name.
No,
Katie Mixon.
Katie Mixon.
Ooh, all right,
they're in
Katie
a car. Mixon. They're all fucking crazy. They're the worst people ever. They're in a gremlin, so it's even a crazy car. And and now they're and DJ Qualls is like, physics bored me. So now I make Applehead sculptures,
right,
which look like pruned, like prune faces.
Shrunken Applehead dolls.
And they're and the only reason why you know who they are is because they say, oh, that's Clay Aiken. And it just is an Applehead with like a little bit of hair on it. Not a great Clay Aiken at all.
Also, we really thought that Clay Aiken's career would be much better when we wrote the movie.
Yeah,
so the Clay Aiken. That joke falls flat is not our fault.
What the
America's
fuck?
Like, who is Clay Aiken?
Right, right.
We should have stuck with the Elvis joke that we originally had in this script. Oh man.
And who has a job making Applehead dolls, something that you can make for free?
What was it? It was also Apple. He goes, yeah, now I'm making so much money on appleheadsrule.com.
Yep.
Appleheadsrule.com. They get caught in a cicada hurricane, right? Or is it a cicada apocalypse?
Yeah, it's like
cicadas are migrating, and there's a
tornado.
At the same time a tornado is about to hit.
Coincidentally,
so
they
hilarity
just
ensues.
And yeah, she rain bonnets. And she has in her purse 3 rain bonnets.
You guys, can we talk about the red boots for a second?
Can we talk? We still haven't spent nearly enough time, as far as I'm concerned, on the sex scene that happened. But yes, go ahead and talk about the red boots.
I felt like the red boots were like an inside joke amongst the crew.
Well, clearly, to me, the red boots and the hurricane are Wizard of Oz.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, the tornado.
Right.
The red boots and the tornado are Wizard of Oz.
Okay, well, I did write down.
Wait, this is a Wizard of Oz?
No, you're
now?
Right. You're totally
no.
right. When you saw goes home at the end. You're absolutely
when
right.
When you see DJ and you see Miss Mixon,
yes,
you automatically go, oh, look, it's Gatekeeper and Threshold Guardian.
Or it's the Scarecrow.
Right.
Okay, well,
I checked out way before that.
When she's asked about the red boots and why she wears these vinyl hook. I mean, they're hooker boots.
Yeah.
They're disgusting. These vinyl red hooker boots. She says, these boots make my toes feel like 10 friends on a camping trip. What? What?
Also, do you really get dressed like that in
front
of your father?
Camping trip.
Yes. So she goes upstairs. She's got on normal, semi-normal clothing, but then she sees how hot Bradley Cooper is, and she goes upstairs and she puts on this hooker bra, and her father and her mother are not stopping her. They're not saying anything like...
They're like, get out of the house, have a baby. That's what they want her to do.
She is in her 40s.
No, it's this really is, sad.
This
quite
is,
sad.
None
it's
of this
sad.
Makes sense.
This is the same parents who don't fly to wherever she is when she's stuck in a well. Now, meanwhile, a lot of people show up to the well thing. Everyone's watching it. The truck driver from earlier who didn't rape her is watching it. Her old news director, who at the end of the movie is like, guess we got to give her a job back.
Because
really?
She fell in
she
hole.
She fell in a well? There is a sad watermelon in the crowd that they cut to. Do you remember that?
No.
Yes.
At the end
useless.
Of the movie, like, yeah, just have a guy in a watermelon costume.
Yeah.
Apropos of nothing, we've never seen this guy.
Right.
And there's no other costume characters around, just a sad watermelon. It's like, I hope she's okay. I hope she's okay. America is rallying around this girl in a well. And I don't even understand how they got themselves out of the well. It was like a mine car and Indiana Jones.
Okay, so here's the crazy thing. Yeah. The crane is about to sink into the well. They feel like it's gonna knock
you guys,
everything
it's
over.
It's a hole.
And then
it's a mine
right,
shaft.
It's
mine
a mine shaft. So then they use the remaining because they do make a big point to show you that the crane wire goes down into the well.
Right.
They use that as some sort of a pulley system that doesn't seem to pull the crane into the hole.
Yeah. It made no sense because that mine car takes off really quickly.
Right.
First of all,
yeah, that's where the movie lost me. That's where the movie lost me. I was like, this makes no sense. Everything up until this point makes complete sense.
I want to talk about one other thing too. When their car gets ripped away by the tornado, which is a whole other sequence, we're not even giving them too much doo-doo. The car is broken. The car is literally broken, and Sandra Bullock's character decides to hold a window frame. When they're driving, it makes no sense. Like, the car literally has no doors, everything's ripped apart, and she's just holding a rubber window frame in the back seat. The backseat of window. Like, I got to make sure this fits. Like, oh,
that strikes me as one of those kind of like, would it be funny if my character did this?
Yeah.
And they were like, yes, we can't say no to her.
Yeah.
Well, this is a new segment on the show that we're going to try out this week. See how it goes. There's a point in all these movies where you get so beaten down and you just want to be like, no, this is bad. You want to boo at the screen. And here it is. This is our little sound. So is there a moment in the movie where you clipped onto, you're like, oh, this is past bad for you, where you wanted to get up, you wanted to maybe walk out, anything like that?
In the first 5 minutes, she's talking to her boss at the newspaper, and he's telling her, like we said earlier, go out, go have some fun, kind of blah, blah, blah. And he goes, be normal. And she looks at him, and he walks out of the room, and then she writes the words, be normal. On a piece of paper for herself to remember. At which point I was like, uh-oh, we are in a bad place. This is horrible. And she goes, be normal. She says it to herself. Like, that's like really next level crazy behavior. My other favorite boo moment was, you guys go ahead.
All right, one of my favorite boo moments was the fact that she would first talk about herself, talk about what she was thinking, and then for some strange reason, there was a voiceover.
That's what I was going to say, yes!
I was like, make up your mind, writers. Either she's going to say what she's supposed to say, or there's just going to be voiceover. Bridget Jones, thieves.
It was when they literally are in a little a sewer canal, or you know, a storm drain, and then they like someone goes, ah, shit. And then she's like, sometimes cursing is necessary. it was bad narration too. It was bad narration. There's a couple moments for me. I think the getting Bradley Cooper to get his shirt off for no reason, and the one moment that I thought was crazy, he does an entire scene without a shirt. He was on a like a little bit of a stage, and Sandra Bullock tripped over a cord, and it ripped him down, and he fell down with his camera. And then for the whole next scene, he's not wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
He's hiding in the back of a news van shirtless for no reason. That was just purely like, just make him take off his shirt for this scene.
This movie's a pile of shit. We just got to get him to take
give the
his
ladies
shirt off.
Something to see here. Just take his shirt off.
We only have one shirt for the entire production, so if he wears it throughout, it's going to get fucked up.
Speaking of costumes, I was very angry that they made us watch that mismatched paisley skirt and tie-dyed t-shirt for an entire movie. That was unacceptable.
Ugh,
and
so
those red
awful.
Boots. I mean,
the red boots, the red bra, what Miss Nixon had on, where I'm just like, come on. You guys can do a lot better than this. I know that you can.
I will once again reference when she takes a bath and then in a towel slides down the banister
attempted.
To talk to her mom and dad about going to follow Steve.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, my
Whose fumigation lasts so long that they have to comfortably move back in with their parents? Like, she still had a room, everything was
oh,
set
yeah,
up.
Oh, yeah, that's
Wait,
her excuse
why
for
think...
why she lives at home, is that her apartment's being fumigated.
See, what's really weird about this character is, like, you think, okay, she's just super cerebral and brainy and heady, but then she does moves like that.
No, you don't think that. You think, I don't think that at all. I think this is an autistic person. This is a person who doesn't pick up on social cues. This is like a person.
But here's the weird thing about that banister moment. It was the reason why she didn't slide all the way through was because there was like a pull there.
Guys,
she was
Temple Grandin has it more together than this person.
I totally agree.
Temple Grandin writes books. She's a functioning human being. She gets it. Mary is
Mary
needs
Horowitz.
To be institutionalized.
All I'm going to say is there's a moment in this there's so many like jokey jokes in this movie too that really upset me where the deaf kids fall in a well. They're rescued from the well. The crane now Mind starts up. To go in the well and the deaf kid goes, "I smell a lawsuit." Signs, "I smell a lawsuit." And they
Love
throw
it.
Up subtitles at that one point in the movie.
You guys, where do you think Mary is today?
In a hospital. In a hospital for cutting, because she tries to jab herself with things. She's probably waiting to get out so she can follow some newscaster.
You know this,
her parents are at fault here. Her parents are at fault.
This movie... Her parents, Howard Hessman and Grandma from Dawson's Creek.
Which, by the way, were we supposed to take something away from that? That her mother was Southern and her dad was
Who
Jewish?
Knows?
Like, is that how this happened?
Oh,
Who
yeah.
knows?
Her mother was kind of crazy. That's one of the cool things is that you do see where she gets it from because her mother was equally as insane. However, I just feel like, you know, if there are any white women, if this is supposed to be like what white women do, I just want to let y'all know, fa.
This seriously is what white women are like.
Did you hear when she said nasal tampon?
No.
That was great.
She's like, get a Bradley Cooper's bleeding from his nose, and she's like, get him a nasal tampon.
What?
Oof. What is that?
That's five lines of cocaine into a writer session.
nasal tampon.
Does anybody else sad?
She's a linguist. She knows what things are called.
Was anybody else sad that Carol the Gerbil didn't come back?
Yes. Carol the Gerbil should have been at the vigil for the girl in the well.
I thought they were going to make the gerbil dance. Like there was at least going to be one section of the movie where we looked in the cage and...
Well, we play this game all the time. Here's the thing. Here we go. The budget of the movie was $15 million.
Okay.
Relatively
less
small.
Less than I would have thought. Yeah.
Very small budget.
Wow.
How much did it make? It's a movie that is perceived as a flop. How much did it make? It won all the Razzies in 2009.
$3 million.
$33 million.
$7
million. $40 million.
Whoa!
Huge hit.
It's a hit.
Hit. Huge hit.
Mostly attended by girls who went to it more than once.
This movie comes out the same year as The Blind Side.
Exactly. Same year as The Blind Side. Two very different movies. We are about to wrap it up. We're going to get to your viewer mail right now. But before we do, just a reminder to check out earwolf.com. There are so many great things to do on that site. You can write your comments. You can check out all the shows. There's an Earwolf app. Eardrop is really great. That's a new thing. And And always you can contact us at How Did This Get Made. You can leave comments for us there. You can leave comments for us on our Facebook page as well. Now, We asked everybody last time, we said that this movie kind of felt like a horror film because it is so, it's about a stalker stalking this man. He's afraid for his life. So we asked you guys to come up with some good alternate titles for a movie if it was a horror movie. You left your comments on our Facebook page and on earwolf.com, and you've emailed them to us, and we're going to read you some of our favorites. So we could just go around. Anybody can read one.
This is from Jeff Brown. Mm-hmm. Single white dumb shit.
I love Brad Walker. There's nothing about Mary.
I like this one, which was from, this is a little bit of a thinker. Dave Harvey writes, Mineshaft, Documents of the Red Boot Stalker.
That makes it sound like a late night show, like Skinamax movie.
Skinamax movie.
Oh, I liked Ben Levine, Stalk You Like a Hurricane.
How about Robin Herskowitz, Rain Woman?
Oh, that's good.
Which I think that's pretty great.
Big thanks to Caitlin for All About Asperger's.
And Fatal Attraction to the Stalking of Steve from Ryan T. LaBee. Any other good ones in here?
I like that Joseph Wimmer just kind of gave up and said, just call it All About Shit. How about that, dude?
I think
I'm just
that
realizing they were expecting a hurricane, and there was no mention of the fact that it turned into a tornado.
No, we're in two different locations, I think.
Oh, so the tornado was separate from Hurricane LaQuisha?
Yeah, Hurricane LaQuisha was on the coast
where
Thomas Hayden Church was in the storm, and then she
the
was
two major
inland.
Weather events were happening at the same time,
maybe they
and
were
there
connected?
Was a migration
I don't
of
know.
Cicadas.
The cicada yes. thing lost me. And everyone was leaving.
Guys.
Everyone was leaving town like hurricane. The hurricane was creating like an Independence Day level evacuation. Like it was like people were get out.
Although
a hurricane.
The weather at the carnival was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Because that was in Colorado, wasn't it?
Well, I see.
That was seven states away, but within 3 hours they got there.
I gotta say,
I want someone to map out the geography of this movie.
Guys, Ken Jeong's in this movie too.
Yes.
Doing great work.
Really. I would say the most restrained. Of all of them, the most down-to-earth, grounded character. This movie, for me, was up there with Old Dogs. It is amazing, and it's so rich and full of insanity on every level.
Good luck trying to find it to watch it.
Yes, because you can't. Brandon went to the public library to get a copy. I had to buy mine at an abandoned Blockbuster for $2.
Yeah, if I had to buy this, man, I'd punch Sandra Bullock in her face. So I let the city use city property, which is this shitty movie.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Brandon.
You can't find
my tax dollars.
The studio is actively trying to make this movie erased from existence. So get it. Watch it. It is your right as an American citizen to see this piece of shit. That is all for us this week. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, you got us on our Facebook. You got us on earwolf.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul Scheer. June, you are?
Miss June Diane.
Jason, you're not on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter.
Brandon, you're not on Twitter.
No, actually, now I'm after seeing this movie, I'm at Jesse James on Twitter.
Anything else to plug? Anything to talk about? No?
I don't know.
All right, great. That's it. Thanks for tuning in. That is all for How Did This Get Made?
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.
This February, true legends from the worlds of comedy and music will unite to form the Supergroup. I'm Tawny Newsome. On every episode, me and my co-host, Alex Kleiner, will invite our talented friends to write and record an original song with us over the course of a week.
You'll hear every step of the process, from writing and rewriting to recording and mixing. Songs with Open Mike Eagle, Paul F. Tompkins, Ted Leo, Woo! Sashir Zameda, Janet Woo! Barney, and more.
The Supergroup. Join the band February 6th on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.